passing your IELTS test once shouldn't just be something you daydream about, because when you devote your time to learning how this English exam works and practice with test questions, your fears and anxiety will disappear forever. With the right mindset and resources, you can achieve your desired band score in the IELTS exam, whether you need a band 7, band 8, or even a band 9. Join me at Adenike Babalola every Friday for the IELTS weekly specials, as we break down the 4 skills in the IELTS test through detailed explanations, easy to follow practice tests, and stories of other test takers I have trained since 2017. Together, we will dust IELTS and you can finally get that job in the UK, that admission in Australia, or become a permanent resident in Canada. Okay, welcome to the practice day 3, and we are focusing on matching headings. Okay, so if you're listening to my podcast show for the first time, I appreciate you for joining in today. Okay, and if you've been listening to previous lessons, it's a pleasure to have you come back. Okay, so today we are looking at matching headings, and this is one question type in the IELTS reading that has really traumatized so many people. And I use the word traumatized because I've been training people since 2017, and for every time I ask people, what are you not getting, what is not straightforward, what is complex, matching headings question always come up. This question type always comes up. Okay, so I have decided that I'm going to address it again on the podcast show. And as I said before, when the videos are out, you will have this there. Okay, so at the end of the 24 days of practice, you will have this practice included. So what exactly are matching headings questions? I'm going to show you. And as I have been doing in previous episodes, we will read the passage together. We will read the questions, the paragraphs, we're going to read them together so that you can understand what this question type entails. I'm going to provide the steps that you need to follow when you are answering matching headings questions. Okay, today we're using the IELTS Cambridge Book 18. Okay, and this is for general training. In our previous lesson, we looked at we used the academic book, okay, and we focused on another question type that was quite complex for many people, which is the summary completion question. Today we are looking at matching headings. So if you're listening right now, if you're not familiar with matching headings questions, these are the question types where, or this is the question type where you would be given a box with a list of headings. It can be 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. And then you'll be given the paragraphs, which would be lettered. You know, let's assume you have 7 paragraphs. In front of those paragraphs, you will see letter A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, depending on the number of paragraphs. Then for the questions, they're going to address the questions as, that's when you look at the questions, the numbers where you have to slot in your answers, they would write them as section A, section B, section C, section D, E, F, G, depending on what you have. Usually the instruction tells you to choose the correct heading for each section from the list of headings below. Okay, this is one question type that many people get confused with. Why? Many assume that when you see any reading passage, you should just look for keywords and find your answer. Okay, but as I have always taught my learners, matching headings questions are exceptions from that rule. In as much as you can find words that will help you find, you know, pick your answer very quickly, when you come to matching headings questions, you cannot use keywords. You can't just pick one word and find one word just like that. It's not that straightforward. And I use this illustration. I've been using this illustration for a long time now. When you see this question type, imagine that you are reading a book and you are being told to pick a heading, or to give that book, that storybook, a title. Usually, matching headings questions require you to give a title, which they call heading or a summary, to a particular paragraph. So in the test we're using right now, we have A, B, C, D, E, F. So that's how many paragraphs? Six. We have six paragraphs. Now, it's like saying that you have six stories and they want you to give each story a title. Is it possible to title a story if you don't read the story? It's just like what we did back in high school when they give you, when they ask you a question in comprehension. What title do you think is most suitable for the story? I remember doing this in high school while I was preparing for, you know, the WASA exam and all of that. What is my point? It is impossible to correctly choose a heading if you do not read each paragraph in full. Matching headings requires you to read each paragraph and then ask yourself, what is the summary of what I just read? This paragraph that I just read, what does it say to me? What did it say to me? What is it saying to me? When you are able to read and confirm what you have read, then you are very likely to choose the answer that you need from the list of headings. So remember that I told you that we have section A, B, C, D, E, F. So it means that for the six paragraphs, we need to take six headings. Okay, so the first point that I have made for you now is that you should recognize the number of questions you're going to be answering. And in this case, we have confirmed that there are six paragraphs and there are six questions. So of course, there are six questions here. Now, the second most important thing that you need to do is to look at the passage and ask yourself, is there a title? Which there would be usually. Now, what is the title? In this case, the title of this passage is White Storks Back in Britain After 100 of Years. White Storks Back in Britain After Hundreds of Years. This is a kind of bird. So we're going to be reading about birds. We're going to be learning about birds. Now, I want to say quickly that this passage is in the third section of the IELTS general training test. Remember that in the previous episode where I talked about summary completion, I said that for general training, you will not have the same thing as what academic has. People who take the academic model do just three passages, one in section one, one in section two, one in section three. And all three passages are lengthy. But when you take the general training test, in section one, you're going to have two passages. It's like saying that they divide into two what the academic people take. So you have two passages in section one, two passages in section two, and then one long passage in section three. This is the long passage in section three. And it is actually for questions 28 to 40. But the first question type here is matching headings. So now that you have read the heading, the title of the passage, you now have an idea of what you'll be reading. And I always say that make sure you give yourself a minimum of 20 minutes when you see the matching headings question type. Why? You are doing more reading than in what you did in previous passages. If in the previous passages you spent about 7 minutes, 8 minutes finding your answers, in this case you would need between 18 to 20 minutes. So it means that because you are doing more reading, make sure you save enough time for this part three. And the beauty of it is the questions that follow after matching headings would usually be easy to answer because you have already read through the entire passage. You would have noted some answers. Okay? Now, when you have read the title, if possible, skim through the passage. Just look through. Don't read. don't read yet. Just look at, okay, paragraph A is long, paragraph B is long, paragraph C is short, paragraph D is longer, paragraph E is fair, it's just in between, and paragraph F is very long. So once you do that, it means that you are prepping your mind. Let me use that word. You are prepping your mind. Okay, so before we proceed, if you have not listened to the previous episode about summary completion, remember that summary completion, you know, occurs both in general training and academic. It's just that it is more common in academic. I want you to please, you know, take that, make sure you go back to that episode after this one. It will help you. Okay, now what is the third thing you are supposed to do? Go back to the box. What box? The box that contains the list of headings. Go back to that box and read the things that you have in there, because you now want to have an idea of what it is that you would be choosing as summaries of the paragraphs. It is important to take note of what you have in the box. Okay? Now, I'm going to read out the headings in this box to you. But when you are reading, it's not enough to read. What you are expected to do is give your mind an idea of what that heading means. So in this case, inside this box, we have 8 Roman figures. You know, we have headings that have been labeled with 8 Roman figures. So you have Roman figure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, how many paragraphs did I say we add? We add 6. And then you have 8 headings. 8 suggestions of headings. So what does that mean? 8 minus 6, 2. You have 2 additional headings that you will not need. They are put there to confuse you. They will look like what you need, but certainly you would not need them. And that is why I tell people, don't say that you want to take the headings one by one. You take Roman figure 1 and then you go and start scanning through the paragraphs. Where is this one? Where is this one? Don't do that. Remember that there will always be additional headings that you don't need. Whether it is 2 or 3 or even 1, they always put them there. IELTS will always include additional headings that you don't need. So how do you read these headings and make them make sense to you? I'm going to go ahead now to read the 8 of them to you and kind of summarize them briefly or paraphrase them so that you can understand what they mean. If you're able to do that, it means that when you read each paragraph, you understand what they are saying easily. Okay, so Roman figure 1 says, an enterprise arising from success in other countries. An enterprise arising from success in other countries. What does this mean? It means that something was done in some countries and it was successful. And so in this other place, people decided to do that thing. What is an enterprise? It's like you venture into something, like a project. I wouldn't want to use the word business because it might not be money oriented. But it is something that they decided to start in a particular place because they looked at other people that had done it and they saw that it was successful, it went well. That is how you paraphrase the headings. And you need to do this very quickly. If you're doing this on your own, if you're practicing on your own, you will do this very fast. I'm taking my time to explain it to you because I am explaining it to you. This is your process of preparation. So it is enough. You need enough time to understand. So that's why I'm taking my time to explain it to you. But when you are practicing on your own, you need to move very quickly. Ask yourself, what does this mean? You explain it very quickly to your mind. That's Roman figure 1. What does Roman figure 2 say? The hope that Turks will inspire a range of emotions and actions. The hope that Turks will inspire a range of emotions and actions. It means that there is this expectation that these birds will cause people to feel different kinds of emotions and take different kinds of actions. It means that people are expecting or anticipating that some people will begin to feel some particular things or do some particular things. Do you see what I did? I took the word hope, inspire, range, emotions, actions, and I interpreted them in alternative ways that my mind can understand them. This is how you should take your headings one by one and process them to yourself. But when you are doing this in a real practice or exam mode, you have to be very fast. And that is why if you are taking the paper-based test, take your pencil and underline, cross a line under the words that you want to interpret to yourself, so that when you read the paragraphs and you see that you have found something that looks like what you interpreted easily, you will pick that answer and you will move on to the next question. Let's go to Roman figure 3. It says, support from some organizations, but not from others. Support from some organizations, but not from others. What does this mean? It means that some organizations gave their support. They were in favor of something, but some people were not. Some organizations were not in support, or some group of people or an establishment did not agree with something. So it's like some people were for and some people were against. This is something you need to be able to interpret to yourself very quickly. You see that I'm beginning to move faster now that I know you are getting it. Roman figure 4 says, finding new types of habitats. Finding new types of habitats. What does this mean? It means that they needed to look for another place to live, to call their home, to dwell in. They had to look for other places, you know, new places, different from what they had before. To look for, finding, habitat, home, where they live. Do you see what I'm doing? You take, there are certain words that once you can break those words down, you will have a better idea of what you're looking for. Roman figure 5 says, opposition from the general public. Opposition from the general public. It means that the public did not support something. They stood against them. They spoke against them. They fought against them. Or the public opposed what they wanted to do. Look for all the ways possible to break down what it is that is in the heading. Let's go to Roman figure 6. A sign of hope in difficult times. A sign of hope in difficult times. It means that when something happened, it was a good sign. It was a good experience when things were going wrong. It means that something was, a period was difficult, a period was hard, but there was this sign, there was this thing that happened, and it gave them hope. It gave them the belief in possibility. That's for Roman figure 6. Roman figure 7 says, creatures which represent both joy and opposition. Creatures which represent both joy and opposition. Okay, so this means you have a certain kind of creature or creatures that imply both joy, you know, something happy, something positive, and opposition. It means that even though it makes you happy, it also comes with some it brings about some disagreement or, you know, unacceptance. It has both a good side and a bad side to it. There's this positive thing about it and that negative aspect to it as well. Okay, finally we have Roman figure 8, and it says, storks causing delight and the revival of public events. Storks causing delight and the revival of public events. This means that these birds brought about excitement and joy, and then the restoration or the continuity of certain events that have been done in public. You know, those things started again. They came back to being done, whether they are celebrations or whatever it is. These birds brought about joy, brought about happiness, brought about delight, and then, you know, they were responsible for these events coming back into existence. This step is one of the most important steps, and normally if you do it very quickly, it shouldn't take you more than 3 minutes 2 to 3 minutes when you're doing this in your own time, when you're practicing on your own. So you notice, if you follow closely, because the next thing we're going to do now is we're going to read paragraph by paragraph to understand how to choose our correct answers. But I've told you the most important things. You identify the number of questions you have. You look at the headings to see how many extra, you know, headings they gave you. Now you read through the headings to understand the meanings of what you have. Once you have done this, you can now go and read paragraph by paragraph. That is what we are going to do in the next stage. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Now that we have read the headings and we have summarized them, we are now going to dedicate our time to reading each paragraph. So I'm going to read the first paragraph and we're going to ask ourselves, what is the summary of what I just read? That's what you ask yourself after reading a paragraph, okay? So I'm going to read it carefully and slowly so that you can, you know, get it. So the title again is White Storks Back in Britain After Hundreds of Years. White Storks Back in Britain After Hundreds of Years. The subtitle says, these beautiful birds could be about to become a feature of the British landscape again. So I'm reading section A, which is paragraph A. The last definitive record of a pair of white storks successfully breeding in Britain was in 1416 from a nest of St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh. No one knows why storks disappeared from our shores. They often featured on the menus of medieval banquets, so we might quite simply have consumed them all. But there could be a more ominous reason. Storks are migrants, arriving after the end of winter, nesting on rooftops and happily associating with humans. And because of these, they have long been a symbol of hope and new life. Yet their association with rebirth also meant they became a symbol of rebellion. Shortly after the restoration of King Charles II in 1660, white storks were rare but surviving. Parliament debated putting greater effort into destroying them entirely for fear they might inspire republicanism. Today, fortunately, that notion has disappeared, and the stork retains its association with new life, appearing on cards given to celebrate the arrival of a new child as a bird carrying a baby in a sling held in its beak. Okay, so let me ask you, what do you understand in what we just read? First of all, the writer talks about the fact that these birds disappeared. The last time they saw it was, you know, 1416. It's been so long. Okay, that's 15th century. And then he says, okay, maybe because, you know, people ate them in their food, so it's possible that we've consumed them all. And then he says, nonetheless, they, you know, these are migrant birds, and then they were associated with, remember the exact part of it, long been a symbol of hope and new life. Yet the association with rebirth also meant they became a symbol of rebellion. And then she talks about, you know, the restoration of the king and then the parliament, you know, trying to get rid of them and all of that. But, you know, towards the end, it still says that it's used on cards. It appears on cards. In short, it looks as if there is a side of, there's a positive side and there's a negative side to this bird. Especially because of the two sentences in the middle. You know, the phrases that say, long been a symbol of hope and new life. And then, you know, the part that says they became a symbol of rebellion. What do those words look like? Especially when we go back to the heading. When you go back to the heading, the answer that looks like that is Roman figure. Do you know what it is? Exactly, Roman figure 7. Creatures which represent both joy and opposition. How do we know? The paraphrase, now remember that the word here is represent. When you look at the paragraph, paragraph one uses symbol. Symbol and represent, they mean the same thing in this context. Now, hope and new life is talking about joy. Now, symbol of rebellion. Can you see the word symbol again? Symbol of rebellion. Rebellion is the same thing as opposition as provided in the list of headings. So we know because of the word choices that our answer for number 28, which is section A, is Roman figure 7. Creatures which represent both joy and opposition. Was this easy for you to get? Can you tell me? We have our social media platforms. You can communicate with me on Instagram at Mother Isn't Mother Podcast. You can go on Instagram, send me a DM. Let me know how this was for you. Let me know if you're getting it. I'm also on TikTok as Mother Isn't Mother. You can find me there. Let's talk about this. Are you getting it? I also have a Facebook group. I have a Facebook page. I have a group on LinkedIn as well, so that we can talk about this to be sure that you are getting it. So did you get this first one? Now let's go to the second paragraph. We're going to read paragraph B. Okay, let's do that. So after such a long absence, there was great excitement when in April of this year, a pair of white storks built an untidy nest of sticks in the top branches of a huge oak in the middle of our rewilding project at Knepp Estate in West Sussex. Drone footage taken before the pair started sitting on them showed three large eggs. The fact that they were infertile and did not hatch was not too disappointing. The pair are only 4 years old, and storks can live to over 30, with their first attempt to breed only failing. Prospects for next year are encouraging. These young storks are part of a project to return the species to Britain, inspired by reintroductions in European countries that more than reached their targets. Imported from Poland, they have spent the best part of 3 years in a 6-acre pen with a group of other juveniles and several injured non-flying adults, also from Poland. Other birds have already shown strong loyalty to the site. 2 years ago, a young bird from Knepp flew across the channel to France and this summer returned to its companions. What did you read? What do you understand from what we read? It started by talking about, you know, the return, what how they saw this new pair of storks using a drone footage and all of that. Okay, they had some eggs that did not hatch and all of that. But then they are considering doing a project, okay, to bring this species back to Britain after they saw that some other European countries tried it and they exceeded their target. And so, in short, did you notice the particular words? Are part of a project to return the species to Britain, inspired by reintroductions in European countries that more than reached their targets. Do you remember the option that talked about countries? Look at it. Roman figure 1 says an enterprise arising from success in other countries. And you see that this in paragraph B talks about Poland. You know, they looked at other countries, they looked at Poland. The fact that other countries are mentioned there and they tell you that those countries exceeded their targets, then it means that we are talking about Roman figure 1. More than that, the use of the word projects, inspired, it means that they are doing something based on something they saw. Okay, you see the word inspired by reintroductions. If you want to listen to this again, you know, you can go back, you can replay the part where I read it. And if you are using your book, excellent. Okay, so the words that point you to that are the words projects inspired by European countries that more than reach their target. Those are the words that help you to know your answer. So we have picked Roman figure 6, 7. We have period Roman figure 7 and Roman figure 1. We have the other, how many do we have left? Out of 8, we have 6 left. And then we have 4 paragraphs. I want to make a point at this stage. If you are taking this test on paper, the answers that you have chosen, this Roman figure 7 and Roman figure 1, make sure you tick them off so that you will remember that you have chosen them. You will know the options you are left with so that you don't make the mistake of choosing them again. Let me tell you something. If you miss one answer, if you get one answer wrong, you are likely to get another answer wrong and another answer wrong. Because you have just 6 paragraphs, just 6 questions. It means that if you miss one, you miss another. So please make sure you're very smart and careful when you do matching headings questions. Now let's look at, you know, paragraph C. In the face of reports of unrelenting ecological loss, the UN estimates 1 million species are on the brink of extinction globally. The white stork's return is refreshing news as tens of thousands of people demonstrate about the growing climate crisis and eco-anxiety besets us. These glimpses of restoration are important. Featuring the storks in BBC's television's Spring Watch in June, the ecologist Chris Packham described the project as imaginative, intelligent, progressive, and practical. What did you just read? Ask yourself, what do I understand in what I just read? Now, they're talking about ecological loss. Different things, different species are going extinct around the world. So to see these birds come back is refreshing, is good news. But yet, thousands of people are complaining about climate crisis. And then there's the concern of eco-anxiety. The fact that these birds are coming back shows that this, you know, it says glimpses of restoration are important. So what do you see here? There is concern, but there is celebration. People are worried about something, but they are happy about this birds coming back. Which option in the headings looks like something like that? Exactly, look at Roman figure 6. A sign of hope in difficult times. The difficult times is that we are having ecological loss. You know, there's global concern, there's climate concern, and then there is the extinction of some birds. But the fact that the white storks in Britain are coming back means that there is a sign of hope. And that is what you have in Roman figure 6. Our answer for paragraph C is a sign of hope in difficult times. Let me say at this point that there are cases where you don't even need to read the entire paragraph. You might not need to read every single sentence. Once you have, or you know, as soon as you see something that looks like what you're looking for, you will know because you have already paraphrased the headings to yourself. But I'm taking my time to go through it because this is our preparation. My goal is to ensure that anytime you come across matching headings questions, you can confidently read your paragraphs, interpret them, read your headings, match them together, and you know with all conviction that your answers are correct. And if you can get your matching headings questions, if you can get your summary completion questions, and of course, we're going to come back to multiple choice later. Who says you cannot have a band 9 in reading? It is very possible you can have a band 9 in reading. Let us go now to paragraph D. Let us go and read paragraph D. And yet, its path to restoration in the UK has not been smooth. Support from conservation bodies has been surprisingly difficult to obtain. Some were hard-pressed with their own initiatives, while others were simply reluctant to stick their necks out. In addition, the committee of the Sussex Wildlife Trust raised doubts about the stork ever having been a British bird. They also had concerns that English-bred birds would migrate across the channel and feared that their messy nest and closeness to humans would cause a hazard, rubbish falling down people's chimneys. So how has the reintroduction project managed to get going? What makes it in some ways special is that it has had to rely on private individuals actually building the introduction pens themselves and feeding the birds at their own expense. The expertise of tiny yet determined conservation charities such as the Roy Dennis Wildlife Foundation, responsible for the successful reintroductions of ospreys and white-tailed eagles to Britain, has been very welcome. And the support of Cotswold Wildlife Park, which quarantined the original Polish birds and continues to manage and cover the costs of the captive breeding program using its own well-trained staff and excellent facilities, has proved invaluable. Honestly, we found the answer to this paragraph long before we came to this end, to the end of the paragraph. Did you get the answer? Did you get the answer? From the beginning of the paragraph, they were saying that, you know, the supports from the conservation bodies were difficult to get. Some people were saying that, you know, some people wanted their own initiatives. Some people didn't want to stand and talk about it. Some people said doubted if the bird was originally from Britain. Some complained that their closeness to humans would be a hazard, you know. And then it just went on to say some individuals have been doing it on their own. And then it talked about charities. What did you get from this? Some were in support and some are against. Do you remember the heading that talked about support? Very straightforward. Go to the heading 3, Roman figure 3. Support from some organizations, but not from others. So some people were not in support of it, while others, some individuals, were the ones using their own funds and their own charities to get it done. You don't have to waste time. You know what I said in the previous point? As soon as you have seen elements of your answers, quickly go back to the heading. Which one looks like it? Pick it and move on, because you don't have all the time in the world. Remember that there are still two more question types after this particular one. This is section 3. Okay, so we have done sections A, B, C, D. Now we have E and F. Let us proceed. I do hope you are getting this. I really hope you're getting this. If this is getting clearer to you, you can even send me an email to help me understand how this has improved your perception of the matching headings questions. Because people tell me, when I see it, I just get confused. I don't finish on time. It's not easy. It's not straightforward. You know, there are times when my learners, before they master it, every time they send me their progress, you just see that they probably got 2 and missed 4, or they got 4 and they missed 2. But I want you to know that you can get every single question, whether it's 6 or 7, you can get everything right. Let's answer question 32 and 33, which are for sections E and F. Okay, so let's read E. Across Europe, as Turk populations have suffered from the draining of wetlands and disappearance of insect-rich pastures and meadows, their loss has been felt deeply. A few years ago, a tearful old woman in a village in Belarus showed me the nest on her roof, empty of storks for the first time in living memory. Where storks have been reintroduced, they are greeted with great happiness, and some historical stork festivals have been restored. The Spanish erect poles for nests along their motorways, and in houses, householders installed cartwheels for storks to build nests on their roofs. During a cold snap in Bulgaria last March, villagers even gave white storks access to their homes. That is paragraph E. What do you understand from what we read? It says that the population has suffered due to certain things. You know, everybody has felt their loss. A woman who was, you know, who this writer encountered showed her empty nest. Okay, you know, the nest that was empty. But then, as these talks have been introduced, people are happy to receive them, and historical festivals have been restored. Historical stork festivals have been restored. you know, so the, in Spain, they erect poles. In Bulgaria, some people allow the storks to come into their homes. In short, people are doing things they used to do before as these birds are coming back. Do you remember the option that had this, you know, this idea? Do you remember? Yes, Roman figure 8. Storks causing delight and the revival of public events. That word delight was used in the paragraph as greeted with great happiness. It's in the same phrase. They are greeted with great happiness and some historical stork festivals. What is a festival? It's a public celebration. It's an event that brings people together to commemorate something, to celebrate something. And so you know that your answer for Roman figure for paragraph E, that section E, is Roman figure 8. How do you feel about fine? I feel very happy when I'm able to read and understand. And so let me give you a pro tip at this point. One of the best times to practice reading is when you are fresh-minded, no distractions, no complaints, no worries, no anxieties. It is easier to understand what you read when you practice in a time of your day when your mind is clear. Now, I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't know when you are available to study, but I just want you to know that if you practice when your mind is fresh, you would easily use these strategies and you will easily spot your answers. Sometimes when you are anxious, when you are stressed out, when you are tired, when you read, you will not understand. You know, it even happens with the listening test. If you're listening when you can't give your full attention, you would not be able to follow the, you know, the recording, the speakers. We have answered sections A, B, C, D, E. Let us complete section F and then wrap up. But I strongly believe that this is getting clearer and the next time you practice is going to be easier for you. Let's read paragraph F. A driving motivation behind the project in the UK is the aspiration that the Storks' return will spark feelings of empathy and affection from townspeople who see their nests on rooftops. They might also encourage the public to feel worried about the wider range where they fly off to feed on earthworms, grasshoppers, and frogs. White storks could be that charismatic species that connect urban communities directly with landscape restoration. Certainly, people once loved them here. The name of our local village, Storrington, was originally Estorchetten, or home of the storks. The public response has been overwhelming, with crowds coming to see white storks flying free in England for the first time in hundreds of years, and private landowners queuing up to offer more introduction sites. The flight of the white stork over Britain is the triumph of practical action over bureaucracy, self-interest, and negativity. I would have stopped after the very first sentence because our answer was in there, but I decided to complete the paragraph because I promised to read through everything. Did you get the answer? Did you notice the words spark feelings? A driving motivation, aspiration that the Storks' return will spark feelings of empathy and affection from townspeople who see their nest. But it didn't stop there. This might also encourage the public to feel worried about the wider area where they fly off. In short, they talked about what they hope people will feel. They hope people will feel empathy, affection, and will get worried about where these birds fly. Which heading looks like feelings? Exactly, Roman figure 2. If you're using your book, you should pick your answers. The hope that storks will inspire a range of emotions and actions. Do you see the use of synonyms at play? Do you see how words are paraphrased, how they are written? The reason we are able to pick our answers quickly is because we already read and paraphrased the headings to ourselves. So do you know the answers we picked? For paragraph A, we picked Roman figure 7, that the birds represent both joy and opposition. And I told you that the word symbol was significant when we chose the answers. For section B, we chose Roman figure 1, that they saw the success in other countries and they decided to try it out as well. For section C, we chose Roman figure 6, a sign of hope in difficult times. People are complaining about climate crisis, but then the fact that these birds have come back means that something good is happening. It's important. For section D, we chose Roman figure 3, that some people were in support of it, but then there were people who were against, who wanted their own initiatives, who doubted that the birds originally came from Britain. For section E, we chose Roman figure 8. We said that people were beginning to do things they used to do before. There was great happiness. The Storks festivals were restored. And then for section 7, we chose section F, which is paragraph F. You know, we chose Roman figure 2. People were beginning to feel empathy. And those range of emotions, empathy, the worry involved, and what's the other word? Let me look at the passage to get that word. Affection, empathy and affection. The use of feelings show you that they were talking about emotions and actions. Now that we have completed this practice test, I want to ask you, how do you feel going forward about matching headings? Do you still think you will feel stuck when you answer these questions? Do you still think you will feel anxious when you answer these questions? I want you to think about it. Matching headings questions are not difficult at all. They are not difficult. Okay? So I'm going to share some final tips about this question type, you know, within the last minutes that we have right now. So don't go away. Okay? Okay, so now that we have chosen all our answers, there are some things I want you to take note of. Remember that when you choose, as you are choosing your answers, tick off the answers you have used so that you would not mistakenly use them again. Now remember that there are two options we did not use. We did not use finding new types of habitat, which was Roman figure 4, and we did not use Roman figure 5. Opposition from the general public. Now, there, of course, they talked about opposition, but they were from, you know, a particular group of people. If you go back to that paragraph, paragraph C, you will see that they talked about the opposition from conservation bodies, okay? And even the committee of the Sussex Wildlife Trust raised doubts. But the opposition was not from the general public. And then for Roman figure 14, finding new types of habitat. Yes, they talked about them going away. They talked about them coming back, but they did not give us any paragraph that was dedicated to finding new types of habitat. So please do not make that mistake. Do not let these two options confuse you. Okay, another point that is important for you is if you read a paragraph and you are not able to decide on the heading that is appropriate on the spot in that instant, please don't waste time on that paragraph. Move on to the next one. By the time you cover other paragraphs and return to that confusing paragraph, it will be easy for you to spot your answer because you have already completed the other ones. The answer will almost be staring at you. Now, a point that is close to this point is if you look at a paragraph and it looks as if two headings are, you know, look suitable, it looks as if two headings are similar, you're not able to choose between one of the two, just write down those two options and then put a question mark or put a symbol that would make you come back. So that when you have done others, you can now, and of course you will definitely get rid of one of the two options, you can now know the exact answer that you need. Why am I saying this? Do not do anything that will allow you to waste a single second of your time when you are answering matching headings questions. If you waste time, it might affect other questions. And you don't want to do, you don't want to guess your answers, because if you guess and one answer is wrong, another one can be wrong. So I want you to confidently and carefully choose your answers when you're doing the matching headings questions in the IELTS reading. Okay, we have covered nearly everything. I just want to say that this question type is simple. This question type is simple. It is just a matter of learning these strategies, attempting them, and practicing them. You don't have to be stuck when you do reading. You don't have to be afraid. So many people, in the survey that I recently conducted, everybody, the 15 people who responded, talked about IELTS reading. And so that is why I am going to, for the remaining 24 days, we still have several sessions on reading. After today, we are moving on to writing, okay? So I want you to make sure you come back to listen to the next episode. Once again, thank you so much for spending time with me today to learn all that we have learned. I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, and I don't even know if, you know, you are listening to the podcast version or you are watching the videos, but I just want you to know that matching headings questions in the reading test are very simple. It's just about reading, comprehending, and matching the right answers, okay? So don't forget that there's a link in the show notes to join the newsletter so that you can always get information about IELTS when a new episode is up and whatever other things I would be doing to help you as you prepare for the test. You can always follow the show if you listen on Spotify or Google Podcasts. You can always follow the show so that you can get updates on your own. And if you have not completed the survey, but you want to let me know the particular questions that you're not getting, please do that. Pick the questions or just spell them out, and I would include them in our future practice sessions, okay? Remember that you can follow Mother Isn't Murder podcast on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, okay? And of course, I have a video on this particular question type on my YouTube channel, so you will find a link to that video. If you need to watch something right now after this podcast or after this session, you can actually go to that video on YouTube and learn more, okay? Finally, remember to share this episode with somebody who is preparing for the IELTS test. That's all you have to do. Just send the link to somebody. Okay? Thank you so much for spending time with me. My name again is Adenike Babalola, and I will see you in the next one. Stay well. Bye. So what did you learn from today's episode? What is that new thing you're taking away from this session? Remember that getting your dream IELTS result boils down to how you prepare and what resources you prepare with. If you would like to join my online IELTS training program, where you watch me explain each skill in detail and practice each question type under the four skills in the IELTS test, click the link in the show notes below. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please rate and review this podcast show and share this episode with somebody you know who is also preparing for the IELTS test. Let us meet again next Friday for another chance to dust the IELTS test and achieve your study, work, or immigration goals. I am Adenike Babalola, and you just listened to IELTS Weekly Specials on Mother Isn't Mother. Bye!